Just for the purposes of the video, it's Wednesday the 2nd of November 2017 and the topic for today's webcast is the eyes of our heart. The eyes of our heart. Just as we start this evening, let me just go back to the garden where it all happened, where it all started and where it all went so badly wrong. I don't imagine, I think we have quite a lot of biblical evidence to support this, but before the fall, before the woman and the man sinned, Adam and his wife enjoyed perfect unity with their Heavenly Father. And, you know, we read in Genesis that once God had created everything, created the universe, created the earth, and created the garden, he made man. And we read in Genesis that he made man in his own image, and he breathed his life, his spirit, into this pile of dirt, and man became a living being. And, you know, I kind of imagine that when Adam opened his eyes for the first time, what he saw, what he was looking into, was the eyes of love. And that relationship that Adam had with his Heavenly Father would have been a complete and perfect connection between Adam's heart and the heart of his Heavenly Father. And, you know, we read later on in Genesis, in those first few chapters, that God the Father walked in the garden in the cool of the day and enjoyed spending time with Adam and Adam's wife, who was not called Eve at that point in time. She only got a name after the fall. And, you know, we just have this picture of complete harmony and complete unity and a real expression of oneness. Yeah, I believe that in that early part of Adam's life, he enjoyed the oneness and the unity that is so much part of the Trinity. And, you know, because he had the life of God breathed into him. And, you know, I believe that we were made to enjoy that unity and that oneness with the Trinity. And that's something that Adam would have stepped into in that early time after he'd been created. You know, and we don't know how long it was for. But we read that something went wrong. And we read that Adam and his wife ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that was the very tree that God the Father had commanded them not to eat from. And we know that the serpent came to the woman and tempted her, and she yielded to that temptation. And she took some of the fruit of that tree, and then she gave some to Adam, who was standing there right next to her, right at her side. And then we read that something terrible happened. It might not have appeared terrible at the moment, but, you know, fairly soon afterwards, the consequences of that action became all too apparent. We read that when Adam took the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil after Eve had eaten it, we read that their eyes were opened. And clearly that's not talking about their physical eyes. They'd obviously been enjoying seeing the beauty of creation and everything God the Father had made. You know, it's clearly not referring to their physical natural eyes, but it's referring to another set of eyes which were opened and which have had terrible consequences for the whole of mankind. You know, we read that their eyes were opened, and the eyes that were opened were eyes that were open to see or to discern the knowledge of good and evil. And these eyes that were opened are all about knowledge. And I think we can clearly see that the eyes that Genesis is talking about are the eyes of the mind. And instead of living from that heart connection with their Heavenly Father, they started to work everything out, trying to decide whether it was good or whether it was evil or whether it was right or whether it was wrong. And the consequences of what happened then have been major for all of humanity, and we're still living in that and reaping the fruit of that decision even today. And we read in Ephesians, I just want to sort of move on to Ephesians and look at a couple of passages there, because we read in Ephesians of Paul giving us a glimpse of how everything that went wrong in the garden, how that can all be put right. And he highlights for us in Ephesians chapter 4 the state that mankind has stepped into. And he highlights for us the consequences of eating from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, he says this. He says, Now this I say, and I testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardness of their hearts. And that really sums up for us, if you like, the state of humanity. And it sums up for us and it shows us the consequences of that fateful decision in the garden. When Adam and his wife took of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil, the eyes of their mind were opened, and they started to use their mind as their primary decision maker. And as Paul writes here, that's led them into a very futile state. But the other thing that happened when Adam's eyes of his mind were opened is the eyes of his heart began to close. And Paul writes here that the consequence of that is a hardness of heart. And we've got this conflict going on inside of us, that because of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we've ended up with a closed heart, but we've ended up living out of the futility of our minds. And Paul is encouraging us here, saying, this is not the way to live. This is not the way God intended it. And he also gives us a glimpse of what he is praying for us, what he is longing would happen in the heart of mankind. And that's back in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 to 18, where he writes his famous prayer, where he says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened or opened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And here, in these two little passages that we've read, we've got a clear contrast between our state, if you like, when the eyes of our heart are closed, compared to how things can be when the eyes of our heart are opened. When, you know, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 that when the eyes of our heart are closed, we have a darkened understanding. You know, we can't see clearly and our understanding is limited or clouded because we're trying to measure everything up against the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We're trying to measure everything up against what is right and what is wrong, against what is good or what is bad. And that clouds our judgment. You know, when we read through Proverbs, we see the writer there giving us a lot of encouragement to gain wisdom and gain understanding. And he's not talking about an understanding that comes from our mind, but he's talking about an understanding that comes from a heart connection when we are connected back to our Heavenly Father in that relationship that he always wanted for us. So when the eyes of our heart are closed, we have this darkened, clouded understanding that prevents us from seeing clearly. We're also, Paul writes, separated from the life of God. You know, and how true that is. We see that so clearly in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and his wife had eaten from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God the Father comes to them in the garden and says, Adam, where are you? And eventually Adam comes out and he says, I hid because I was afraid. And we see so clearly there that there's been a separation from the life that they would have enjoyed with their Heavenly Father. They've gone from that state of living in union and harmony with him to being separated, to hiding, to covering themselves, to living in shame and living in fear. You know, they've gone from that state of perfect union with the Father to this fallen, darkened state, which has been the story of mankind ever since then. You know, from their creation, when the very, very life of God the Father himself was breathed into them, when they had his spirit so alive inside of them, they're now separated because of the consequences of that choice and the consequences of that decision. And it's such a tragedy. And that's the tragedy of the human heart without the knowledge of who God the Father is. You know, Paul says our understanding has been clouded. We've been separated from that source of life. And as a consequence, our hearts have become hard. And, you know, that is such a sad state of affairs to be. But it's sadly the way we live until we come back to feeding and living from the tree of life. It's the state our hearts are when we're living in an orphan-hearted, when we're living with an orphan heart, when we're living in an orphan-hearted world. That's how we are. But Paul gives us this hope in that other passage that we read out in Ephesians chapter 1, that the eyes of our heart might be enlightened or opened up. And what Paul tells us there is that when the eyes of our heart are open, instead of having a clouded or darkened understanding, we have a spirit of wisdom and understanding. And this brings us back to the understanding that the writer to the Proverbs talks about. This brings us back to the understanding which Adam was created to live in and is our true destiny as sons and daughters. It's not an understanding of the mind, but it's an understanding and revelation of the person of God the Father. Because Paul goes on to pray that not only would we have a spirit of wisdom and understanding, but we would have a spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of who he is. You see, he's talking about a revelation of the love of the Father, that our eyes would be open to see who God is. You see, that was something that was cut off from Adam and his wife in the garden. You know, they'd been created, and we don't know how long they'd spent enjoying a relationship with the Father. But the lie that Satan sold to them in the garden was that God can't be trusted. You know, they trusted God the Father ever since he breathed his life into them. But on that day when they took from the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, the lie that Satan sold them was God can't be trusted. And therefore, you've got to try and work it out for yourself. Therefore, you've got to gain knowledge of good and evil in order to make your own decisions. And that was the lie that they believed and stepped into and changed the whole course of humanity. And Paul is calling us back in this passage in Ephesians to a knowledge of who God the Father really is. And he goes on to say in that first chapter of Ephesians that not only would we know who he is, but we would know the hope to which we are called. And right there, Paul is bringing us back to this place where we can know who God the Father is, that he is our Father, that he is loving us with an everlasting love, that he is loving us and pouring his love into our hearts. And the hope to which we are called is a hope, once again, to live as sons and daughters. In fact, it's more than a hope. It's a reality that you and I can live as sons and daughters. And Paul is calling us back to that. He's saying, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be opened so that you would have a spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of who he is, so that you might know the hope to which you are called. And Paul is saying, as the eyes of our heart are opened, once again, we can step back into that relationship with the Father and live in sonship. We can live as sons and daughters. You know, later on in Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prays that we would be, you know, that we would discover the magnitude, the height and the depth and the length and the width of the love of God, that we would be planted and rooted and grounded in love, that we would be established in love. And, you know, this is Paul's heart for us throughout the whole of Ephesians, is that we would come back into our true identity and our true destiny, the very, very thing that mankind had stepped out of and away from in the garden. Paul is showing us that we can come back into that through the revelation of God being a Father to us and through the impartation of his love into our hearts. And, you know, this is so good because it gives us hope again. It gives us a sense of just, of, if you like, vision of what God the Father wants, that it's not hopeless, that we don't have to live with a darkened understanding. We don't have to live a life separated from God the Father. We don't have to remain with hard hearts, but we can begin to see who he really is, and that he is pouring his love into our hearts in order that we would know that we are sons and daughters. And this is something that our mind was not made to grasp. This is a spirit to spirit thing. It's a heart to heart thing. And, you know, it's that heart connection that we lost in the garden is restored to us when we come back into this revelation of God as our Father. You see, In the garden, the eyes of our heart began to be closed as the eyes of our mind were opened. And Paul is offering us here, he's showing us that it's really, really possible for that to be reversed. You know, for the eyes of our mind, if you like, to begin to be closed and the eyes of our heart to be opened once again, so that we can live in a relationship with God the Father as he intended, rather than the one of fear and judgment that we have fallen into. See, this is not something for our minds to grasp, but this is something for our hearts to take hold of. And what we discover when we have the life of Christ living in us, when we have that stream of life flowing into us, when we realize that we are in Christ, we become rooted and established or planted in love. You see, John writes in his gospel, in John chapter 14, he talks about us being in Christ and Christ being in the Father, where the Father is at, and the Father dwelling in us. And what he's painting, therefore, is this picture of unity that we lost way back in the garden. And you know, Jesus talks to his disciples in John chapter 14 about him going back to the Father and sending another comforter to be with us forever. And that comforter, that teacher, is the Holy Spirit. And we read in Romans that the Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts. And as he's poured into our hearts, he brings the love of the Father. He brings the impartation of the Father's love into our hearts. And as that happens, our roots begin to go deeper and deeper into the love of the Father. And this is such a joyous thing, I think, because it restores us back to that place of intimacy with the Father. It restores us back into the original plan that God had for his sons and daughters that we lost so tragically in the garden. And it causes something inside of our hearts to come alive again, that we can, you know, that cry of our hearts can be, yes, God really is my Father. And it happens as we realize that the eyes of our mind need to be closed and the eyes of our heart need to be opened up more and more. See, as our heart is impacted by the Father's love, so our mind will be renewed. You know, Paul prays and talks a lot about our mind being renewed, and it's like he's talking about our mind coming back into its right place. Instead of the mind governing our relationship with the Father, it's our heart is the point of relationship with the Father. And that heart connection with the Father causes our mind to be renewed. You know, Paul talks about putting on a new self, which is something that he talks about a lot in Galatians when he talks about being clothed in Christ. Because we are in Christ, it's like a robe of Christ is wrapped around us and we become in him, which is our true calling and destiny is to be in Christ. Yeah, when you read through Paul's letters, you see so often that he talks about us being in Christ and all the spiritual blessings we have in Christ, because we have been wrapped up into him. And Jesus says that he has gone to be back with the Father, and we are. He longs for us to be where he is, back in that intimate place with the Father. Word understanding, you know, Paul writes about our understanding being darkened But as the eyes of our hearts are opened, he talks about us having a spirit of wisdom and understanding. And it's a different word that's used there. The understanding he talks about, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, is more a perceiving or an intuition. It's not a collection of facts, but it's not a conscious reasoning, but it's a heart connection. And this is something Jesus talks to his disciples about in Matthew chapter 13. In fact, Jesus is quoting Isaiah and also a passage in Deuteronomy 19. And it's a sort of very prophetic but very clear passage about the state of our hearts when they're closed. And it's quite a long passage, but I just want to read it out because it catches hold of something for us. And it's Matthew 13, verses 10 to 17. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. It says this: "Then his disciples approached Jesus and asked, 'Why do you always speak to people in these hard to understand parables?' And he explained, 'You've been given the intimate experience of insight into the hidden truths and mysteries of the realm of heaven's kingdom, but they have not.'" You see, parables are stories, and stories speak to people's hearts. Stories speak, you know, stories give us a sort of level of understanding that we're not able to receive without hearing the story. And, you know, the disciples say, "Come on, Jesus, why are you talking to the people in stories?" And Jesus says, "They'll understand the stories better." He says, you know, he says to his disciples, "You can understand the hidden truths and mysteries of the kingdom, but they can't." And then he goes on to say, "For everyone who listens with an open heart will receive progressively more revelation until he has more than enough." See, the thing about an open heart is it leads us to receive more and more revelation. You know, when our hearts are closed, it's hard enough for us to receive revelation, but it's, you know, when our hearts are closed, we can't receive that progressive revelation. But Jesus says, if you listen with an open heart, if the ears of your heart are listening, then you will receive progressively more revelation until you have more than enough. But those who don't listen with an open, teachable heart, even the understanding that they think they have will be taken from them. That's why I teach the people using parables, because they think they're looking for truth, yet because their hearts are unteachable, they never discover it. Although they listen to me, they never fully perceive the message I speak." See, that word perceive, they never fully perceive. What Jesus is saying there, he says, they never really understand it. They don't really get it. They hear the words, but they don't get the revelation of what those words mean. And then Jesus goes on to quote the prophet Isaiah. And he said, and this is a quote from Isaiah chapter 6. Jesus says, "Although they listen carefully to everything I speak, they don't understand a thing I say. They look and pretend to see, but the eyes of their hearts are closed. Their minds are dull and slow to perceive. Their ears are plugged and are hard of hearing. And they've deliberately shut their eyes to the truth. Otherwise, they would open their eyes to see, open their ears to hear, and open their minds to understand. And they would turn to me and let me instantly heal them." See, Jesus is quoting the prophet Isaiah, where Isaiah says on behalf of God the Father, he says this to the people in one of his prophecies. He says, "You know, you've deliberately closed your hearts to the truth." And you've deliberately closed the ears of your heart to the truth. You've deliberately closed your eyes to the truth. And therefore you can't receive. Therefore you can't perceive. Therefore you can't have this revelation. See, if they hadn't done it deliberately, if they hadn't closed their eyes or ears, then they would be able to see with the eyes of their heart. They would be open to see with the, to hear with the ears of their heart. And they would be able to understand. They would be able to receive this revelation. And if they were able to receive that revelation, Isaiah says, then they would turn and be healed. And Jesus quotes that to the people of his day and says exactly the same thing, that their hearts are hardened to the truth. But if they would only open their hearts up, if they would only allow the eyes of their hearts to be opened, then they would begin to perceive and understand with their hearts. They would get it. And Jesus says, if they get it, they would turn to me and be healed. You see, that's what happens when we open the eyes of our heart. We can receive healing for our heart, which we so desperately need. And Jesus goes on to say to his disciples, he said, but your eyes are privileged, for they see. Delighted or blessed are your ears, for they are open to hear all these things. You know, Jesus is saying to his disciples that the people don't get it, but you do. You know, and you can almost hear the cry in Jesus's heart that if only the people would open the eyes of the heart or allow the eyes of the heart to be opened, then it would be the route or the pathway to their redemption. See, when the eyes of our heart are closed, or the ears of our heart are closed, we can hear it and see it, but we just don't get it. But as the eyes of our heart are opened, you know, the dead end of living from the wrong tree, living from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, is stripped away, and we get this revelation of who God the Father is. We get this revelation that his love envelops us and draws us in. We see with fresh eyes that he is not a distant, angry God, but he has wrapped his arms of love round us, and he has drawn us back into that intimate place of oneness with him. You know, if we haven't got the eyes of our heart opened, we can't see it. And if we can't see it, we can't get it, and we end up carrying on living from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. But as the eyes of our heart are opened, we can see who he is. We gain knowledge of him, and we gain an understanding of the hope to which we've been called. When the eyes of our heart are closed, we live in this state with darkened or clouded understanding. We live this life separated from God. And, you know, it's a desperate, desperate life. It's the lifestyle that Adam stepped into when he and his wife made that fateful choice or decision in the garden. But the good news is that Jesus tells us here that if there is hope, that as we allow, if you like, the eyes of our mind to close down and the eyes of our heart to open, we can get it. And we can get a revelation of who he is, and we can get a revelation of his love for us. We can get an understanding of him loving us now. And Jesus says, if that happens, you will turn to me and I will heal you. See, what we find is that our heart is healed, and something more happens than just our heart being healed. Is there's healing for the nations as well. You know, Jesus, well, we read about the tree of life bringing healing to the nations. In Revelation, it's the leaves of the tree is for the healing of the nations. And, you know, once our heart is healed, it's like as a river of life that flows through us that will bring healing to the nations. And, you know, when we look around us, that's what the world desperately needs. It desperately needs healing. You know, we live in a broken world, and the only answer is for the life and the love of God to flow into this broken world and to bring healing. And Jesus says in Matthew 13, verse 12, to him who has been given, more shall be given. You know, and that's not talking about wealth or material things. It's talking about the more our eyes are open, the more we will receive progressive revelation of who he is and of his goodness and of his life and of his love. See, revelation of who he is brings more revelation of who he is. And you know, as we are rooted and grounded in love, as we are planted in love, we will get a progressive revelation of who God the Father is. We will grow. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 that as we are planted in love, our spirit will be strengthened to enable us to receive more love. And, it, you know, the more we are planted in love, the deeper our roots go down in love, the more love we will be able to contain. Yeah. Jesus talks to the people and says, you know, the eyes of your heart are closed and you cannot perceive, you cannot understand, you don't get it. Paul quotes the same prophetic passage at the very end of Acts, in Acts chapter 28. And he says there, he says, you're staring at the truth, but you're not perceiving it. And, you know, I guess for many of us, that's been the story of our life. We've stared at truth, but we've not understood it in our hearts. But the moment the eyes of our heart are opened up, we can see truth and we can perceive it because we can receive it. And, you know, I long and I encourage us this evening to keep the eyes of our heart opened and allow ourselves to receive and perceive the truth of who he is. And that will cause us to eat from the tree of life rather than feeding from the tree of knowledge and good and evil, which, to be honest, we're so good at doing. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 7, he said, when he was talking to the woman at the well, he said, you know, I will give you living water that will become in you a stream, a river of life. And as the eyes of our heart are opened, we become carriers of life because we are drinking from the source of life itself. And Jesus also said a very similar thing when he went up to the feast in Jerusalem. This is in John 7, sorry, the woman at the well was John 4. But when Jesus went into the temple on the last and greatest day of the feast, he offered people this drink of life. And Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Spirit has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And, you know, as we drink life, it will cause a river of life to flow out of us to the people around us. And it comes as the eyes of our hearts are opened. And as we realize that living from the futility of our mind and our darkened thinking and understanding is not the source of life. It might be the source of knowledge, but it's not the source of life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 that these things, he said, are hidden from the wise and the learned. And we We spend so much time trying to be wise and learn it, but God the Father wants us to drink life. And as we drink life, we will become a carrier of life, and a river of life, a river of his life will flow out from us. That's what the world needs. You know, we live in a broken world that's desperate for answers. We live in a world that's desperate for love. We have people all around us who are crying out for love. We meet people every day in our workplaces, in the shops, in our schools, in our colleges, who are desperate for love, who are crying out in their heart for that sense of affirmation and identity. And because they don't receive it, they look in all sorts of wrong places. You know, because their heart is so wounded, they're just looking for love in the wrong place. And of course, they end up being even more wounded. But we can drink life. We can become a carrier of life. You know, and as we step back into this relationship with God the Father, as we are redeemed back into that original plan that God had for us to live as sons and daughters, to live in oneness and unity with him. As we drink life, as we drink from the source of life, we will be able to be a channel for that life to flow into this broken world. And, you know, I really just encourage us this evening just to keep asking the Father to open the eyes of our heart to a greater and greater extent, so that we can keep drinking from the source of life, so that we can allow the Holy Spirit to pour the love of the Father into our hearts, so that we can see a stream of living water flow out to the world around us. And so, Father, we thank you that you're such a good Father. Father, we thank you that you're loving us right now. Father, thank you that you're pouring your love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And Father, we just ask you to come to us once again. Fill us, Father, with your love. Father, open the eyes of our heart. Cause the eyes of our hearts to be open, that we might have a spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of who you are. That, Father, we can really see who you are. That we can have a fresh revelation of your goodness and of your fatherhood. Father, just come to each one of us now and let your love surround us. Let those arms of love gather us up, that we may be clothed in love, that we may be wrapped in love. Father, we're fed up of living with the futility of our thinking. We're fed up with a darkened understanding. We're fed up with that sense of separation from you. And so, Father, we just ask that you would lift the veil off our eyes, that the eyes of our heart would truly be opened, that we would know who you are, that we would know who we are, that, Father, we would drink life, that we would come to the source of life and drink life itself. And that, Father, as we drink life, that life within us would become a river that flows out to this world around us. That, Father, as you heal up our hearts, so too a river of life would flow to the nations, and we would see healing, your healing, flowing to the nations. Not just the nations in the global sense, but the nations around us, the people around us, our neighbours, our colleagues, our family. Those people who desperately need a touch of your love. Father, every human heart is crying out to be loved. Father, every human heart wants to be loved. And when they don't find love in you, they'll find it in all sorts of other places. And Father, we just cry out to you for your love to touch the people around us, that a stream of living water would flow to this broken world. That truly, Father, it would be a river of life that brings healing to the nations. Father, thank you that you are so, so good. And Father, that separation that came in through Adam, Father, has been taken away through Jesus. And we can come and know you in the same way as he knows you. That we can be with him where he is with you. Father, just draw us into the closeness and the intimacy of your presence. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.